This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with Joyful Heart Renewal Ministries. We're studying today Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, entitled, I Invite You, Lord, to Examine My Ways. Let's pray. Father, open us up. Sometimes we get to be hardened shells, O God, and need you to make us flexible afresh in your hands. Do it today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 139 is a probing psalm of David, a wonderful but troubling psalm, and I encourage you to read it. Let's look at it together, especially the final two verses. David realizes that God knows everything about him, every detail, even the humdrum, innocuous details of his life, every moment, even when he sits down and when he stands up. But not just his actions. His thought life is exposed to the Creator. Verse 2, you discern my thoughts from afar. Even before David speaks, God knows what he's going to say. David feels God is spying on him, giving him no privacy whatsoever, and he's not sure that he likes it. Verse 5, you hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Sometimes his presence is overwhelming, and when he lays his hands on us, we are powerless. Like it or not, God intervenes in David's life. So David contemplates escape, but finds no way to hide from God's pervasive influence. Verses 7 to 12. Verse 7, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? There's a kind of restive rebelliousness visible in us at times. David senses it in himself. But then David's mind turns to God's tender care over his life. God is not harsh, but caring, careful. Verses 13 and 14, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Yet God is intrusive. Long has he cherished plans for David, for good and not for ill. Verse 16, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. Sometimes predestination can feel restrictive. Don't I have any freedom of will at all? Is there no choice? Is it all predetermined? Do I have to? Sounds like a teenager with a parent. But then David reflects on what he has learned about God's thoughts from a lifetime of seeking him. Verses 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I am awake, and I am still with you. This great God, who was infinitely more complex and knowing than David will ever be, somehow cares about him, as a person who is beloved. God's presence is not malevolent, but benevolent. God doesn't seek to harm David, but to bless him. At both the beginning and the end of the psalm, we see the idea of one's way or path. Verse 3, you search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. In the psalm's last two verses, David comes back to this again. The possibility of a grievous way, a habit or lifestyle that brings concern or grief to God's heart. It is possible, you know, to grieve or offend the Holy Spirit by what we do or say, even by thoughts that are filled with bitterness, lust, self-centeredness, covetousness. We can cause sorrow to God, much like the sorrow of a parent who sees his son or daughter making wrong decisions and taking paths that we know will lead to pain and heartache for our child. At the beginning, David seems to resent God's intrusion into his life and thoughts. Then he recalls God's tender formation of him and the vastness of God's knowledge, and he begins to soften. The limitless, omnipresent God loves him and wishes him well. And so in the final two verses, David surrenders, submits to God's loving scrutiny. In fact, he invites it. 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me. He invites God into his inner person to see what's there, warts and all. Heart, in verse 23, expresses the totality of one's inner person, one's thoughts, emotions, and will. How often our heart can become corrupted by focusing it on toys and trinkets or even attractive people, rather than placing it squarely and fixedly on God himself. Thoughts is probably better anxious thoughts or disquieting thoughts. We find the same word in Psalm 94:19, when the cares of my heart are many. Jesus counsels his disciples that the cares of this life can distract us and weigh us down so that our fruit doesn't mature. This might include the fringes of unbelief that nag at us. Increase our faith, Lord. 3. An offensive way is variously described as grievous, hurtful, and wicked. The word comes from a root that relates to physical pain as well as emotional sorrow. We can be so blind to how our thoughts and actions are a slap in God's face, an insult to his holiness and love. David now trusts God to perform on him what Alcoholics Anonymous refers to in step 4 as a searching and fearless moral inventory. David is finally willing to let down his guard. He asks God to do this using 4 active verbs. Search me employs a verb used for investigating legal cases, evaluating mining prospects, learning about the plight of the needy, and it extends to probing a person's character or feelings. David invites God to turn on the arc light of his spirit and search every nook and cranny of his soul. And then, know me, twice in verse 23, is a verb that can express God's knowledge of a man, learning, distinguishing, discerning, intimate acquaintance, even the intimacy of sexual intercourse. David is inviting God to know him in the most intimate, full, and personal way imaginable. Have at it, God. I trust you because I know you love me. 3. Test me or try me uses a verb that means to examine in order to determine one's essential qualities, especially one's integrity. And 4, see me, in the sense of inspect. O God, you who possess the ultimate X-ray vision, look deep within. I know I need help. I know I need healing. But I trust that you wish me no harm, only my good. Verse 24. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now we come back to the way that we saw in verse 3. David asks God, trusts God, to look deep within him and help him discover if there is something within him that is a wrong path, a path that grieves the Father, a path that is inherently wicked and has no future. After all, the Proverbs tell us, Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Finding the right path is so important. Jesus tells us, Matthew 7:13, broad is the way that leads to destruction. God can help us see the road we're on. So may a Christian friend whom God sends to assist us at this crossroad in our lives. Jeremiah tells us, Jeremiah 6:16, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. That's the path we want, Lord, your ancient path. If we're on the wrong path or about to veer off, help us, please. Here is David's 5th and final request of God, a desperate, longing plea. verse 24, lead me in the way everlasting. Conduct us along the right path, Lord, the path that leads to eternity. It is both the ancient path and the path that leads us into eternity with God. Gone is my protective shell that doesn't want anyone to tell me what to do. Enough of that. I'm sorry, Lord. Direct me. Teach me. Lead me. Show me your path. O Savior, you are the way. Let me walk with you along your path all the days of my life. And when I pass from this life, lead me to your holy city, to the special room you've prepared for me, just down the hall from yours. Amen.